What shall we say then in response to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? If he would let his precious son die for you, how can we think that he would rob us of the riches of the inheritance that he means for us to have? Why do you think God is going to cheat us and make it so hard for us? Why do you feel like we have to die in poverty and weakness and sin and despair and frustration and guilt? Why would you have that picture of God when he graciously gave us his son to die for us? How much more all things? Anything else is easy compared to that, is what Paul's saying. He said, look at this realistically. If you won't believe the other things I've said about it, look at it realistically. He gave his precious, beloved son to die, to be scourged and mocked and spit at and hated and rejected and beat and thrashed beyond human recognition, and then to be executed in a humiliating way with criminals. He allowed all that to happen in his sight, watching carefully. He allowed all that to happen so that you wouldn't have to have that happen to you. Now, if he loved you that much, why do you doubt that he's going to make you whole? Let me say it another way. How dare we doubt that he's going to manifest his glory in us and not just leave us weak and impotent without testimony, without life within, without victory over sin, without true fellowship? How could we for a second doubt that he's going to leave us like infants, mentally, spiritually retarded infants? Why would we accuse God like that of leaving us as impotent, weak, testimony-less infants when he gave his only son for us? How much more all things? How much more can we expect the glory of Jesus to live within the inner man, rivers of living water gushing from the inner man? We can expect that for all who believe because he gave his only son. We have every right and confidence to expect awesome things to flow forth out of our individual lives. Unbelievable wisdom, unbelievable testimony of righteousness and faith, unbelievable giftedness to change the world around us and to bring peace in our homes and in our hearts. Unbelievable things. How much more all things? If his only son, how much more all things? The rest of the stuff's easy compared to that. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble, shall hardship, shall persecution, shall famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons. And if you want to be like Paul in your testimony, and even beyond Paul, because he is not our ceiling, Paul is not the limit of what God can do in any of us. Paul is not our ceiling. He would shriek at the thought that we would simply want to be as wonderful in God's sight, as fruitful in God's sight as Paul is. Paul would say, man, your goal is way too low. It's Jesus we're looking at, fixing our eyes on him, the author and the perfecter of our faith, of our faith. But Paul, he said, is convinced that we're more than conquerors. And if you're as convinced as Paul is, you'll begin to manifest some of the fruit that Paul did in your own inner man, in your own home, and in the world around you. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I speak the truth. I am not lying. Holy Father, by your Spirit, by the blood of the eternal covenant that you've made with Christ Jesus, your Son, the blameless Lamb of God, I ask that you would not just teach these truths to your people, but you would impart them to your people. We know we depend on you. We sow the seed, certainly, but we go to bed, and we know not how. You give increase. You give life to your words. And so we ask that you would bring light into our hearts, but we know it's the life of the Son of God that gives light to mankind. Father, please turn on the light of your glory that you made to shine in the face of Jesus Christ into our hearts as we behold him. Jesus, we want to fix our eyes on you. We know you're the author of our faith. You're the perfecter of our faith. And then by your Holy Spirit, you're groaning right now with groans too deep to be uttered. You're interceding before the Father of lights. You're crying out for each of us by name, that we would be manifested in full glory, not just in sonship, but also as co-heirs. That you'd not only bring to us a salvation, but a full salvation, a whole new life in Christ Jesus. That you would bring forth us out of the earth, out of the decay of the earth, out of barren wombs, out of bodies that we acknowledge to you are as good as dead. But all over the earth right now, our God, with hundreds of thousands of people that call on your name with pure hearts and a good conscience, in a sincere faith that truly call out to you, Father, all over the earth, spring forth out of your Spirit beyond first fruits into harvest. Father, it's time now. It's time that your people rise up and manifest not just your salvation, but also your glory. You want to bring many sons into glory, into the family likeness of your Son Jesus. And Father, all we can really speak for is what you've given us, what's right here, right now. But Father, there's what you've given your Son, the inheritance that you've given your Son all over the earth right now. We cry out for that too right now, that you would find faith when you return, that your word would reign, and that as people would fix their eyes on you and behold your Son, that you would make your full glory shine out of their hearts, just as you made it shine out of the heart of your Son, Jesus. Father, let the pagans and the nations rage and be mocked. Let the demons in hell scream out in objection. But Father, let your sons be manifested. We groan, your Spirit groans, creation groans. Father, let it rise up within the hearts of man by your grace and your goodness, not our deeds. But we believe you that let the light shine out of darkness, that you can make your glory shine forth out of our faces. Just like Stephen, his face shone like that of an angel, like the noonday sun. You let him see your Son standing at your right hand. Father, open our eyes, too, to see your Son standing. Open our eyes, like Elisha's servant, to see that those that are for us are more than those that are against us. God, open our eyes. All we can do is say the words. All we can do is plant the seeds. But God, we beg you, in the name of Jesus, your Son, by your tender mercies, by his Spirit and his blood, and the covenant you made with him, and the fact that you love the Son, Father, we ask you on his behalf that you would manifest your life in everyone here and everyone in the hearing of these seeds, that you would bring life out of seed and bring glory out of death. And we believe you without wavering, fully persuaded you're able to keep your promises. God, do some miracles in the hearts of those that truly desire to believe you for the manifestation of your life. God, we know that only you can do this, but we do believe that the God who created the heavens and the earth can change us and magnify his Son in us. So, Father, please do this right now for everyone that calls on your name with a pure heart and a good conscience and sincere faith towards you. You promised us that those that would cry out to you, those that would turn their face towards you, would not be put to shame. Father, shove it in Satan's face in the name of Jesus as you manifest your children as co-heirs. Father, thank you for a hope that's beyond hope, a hope that's reality for those who believe. Thank you so much for that. Amen. Do you recall when Job's riches were restored to him, multiplied over what he'd ever lost? Do you recall when that was, the book of Job? It said when he prayed for his friends, God restored his life to him. Make the application, okay?